Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 531. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffey is with me here on this just blistering hot day at the end of creeping up on June. It's summer in Las Vegas, and it's been a crazy week, Cole Coffey. We've both had very, very busy weeks. Both of our weeks were supposed to be pretty much exactly the same, but they ended up being very, very different. But nonetheless, busy. Now, you, we'll get to all the things that you've been to, because you've been hustling around town. You've been rolling around. There was so much going on this week that I was actually really looking forward to going and taking part in and helping out in. But mine, my week took a very much a change. I think it's probably the worst news, perhaps, that you can get as a homeowner, especially here in Las Vegas, especially as summer's approaching. But my air conditioning went out. And so as a homeowner, and I like being a homeowner, and I believe in the value of homeownership versus simply paying rent all the time. But there is one nice thing that when you're renting, at least you just hit up the old landlord and you're like, hey, guess what? Air conditioning went out. Can you send somebody out here, man? I need somebody to come repair this thing real quick. When you're the homeowner, that's going to be about $20,000 coming out of the pocket. So, and that happened to me this week. So, fortunately, I will say it's, I didn't have to write a check for $20,000. You know, they've got some financing payments options and that sort of thing that may take a little bit of the hit out of it, but it's still coming out of your pocket. But it was like Monday afternoon, and I was kind of working, and I noticed that my house was a little bit warm. I was kind of hanging out, and I was like, man, like the AC, like I turned it down, it wouldn't go down. It wasn't bad. It was hovering around like 81, you know, so I mean, that's just not crazy, you know what I mean? No. But I was like, yeah, that's weird. And it just wouldn't drop in temperature. So I was like, well, let me turn this thing off. Like maybe something froze or whatever. Let me turn it off.
That could happen.
You know, I obviously my extensive restaurant industry experience, I remember you'd see compressors would freeze up.
Yep.
So I was like, let me turn this thing off for a little bit. And let's see how it goes. And then we are at that point of the year where it does actually cool off at night. You know, like during the heat.
Not for much longer.
Not much longer. Yeah, you start getting into like July and August. Like it's still like 90 degrees at night. But right now it's like 70 degrees at night. So, you know, I could turn the AC off, open the door, open some windows, get some fresh air. So, anyway, that was Monday. I noticed I was having some issues. So Tuesday, I was like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to go, let's change the filters. Let's make sure that the filters weren't bad, but I was like, let's make sure they're changed. My wife was kind enough to go help me clean the outside, too. You know, let's clean the outside unit, all that stuff. And just make sure that all those little basics are handled before we start getting the repair people out. Very, very fortunate, too, that she's got a friend that her husband works in HVAC. So it's like, you got somebody you trust, you know what I mean? Which that to me is, it's almost like car repair or something where it's like, you got to have somebody you trust or they're going to take advantage of you. 100%. So anyway, clean the filters. And it would still come on. Like it would cool down for a little bit, but then it would just never drop below like 81, 82 degrees. And I knew that you can't just keep running the thing like nonstop or you'll burn every engine part out and that sort of thing. So finally, when that didn't work, the filter changed clean. I called them out, and they came and take a look. And fortunately, the gentleman that helped us out, man, his company's fantastic, and they were out quickly. And they took a look and like, yeah, as you can tell, your motor's bad. He's like, you got a coolant leak right here. Anyway, it's the original. I mean, it's about a 19-year-old air conditioning at this point. So it was the original build on the install. My house was built in like 2006.
And we talked about that. This heat out here, like things just die sooner than normal. So to get 20, what you said, 20
19,
years?
Yeah, 19 years.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. So it was like, look, you know, we'll level with you here. It's like, dude, there are some repair options that you can go with. But we don't know how long it's going to last, and you kind of realize what the inevitable is. And I was like, yeah, I mean, my wife and I have been talking the last couple of years. Like, we know this is coming. So, anyway, had to pull the trigger. Big investment, but, you know, we don't plan on going anywhere. We love living in Las Vegas, so it's worth putting the money back into the house. So, yesterday was installation day, and I was actually, you know, you called me out on it last week. You were absolutely correct. I was like, I'm going to
find
be
some
there.
Reason.
I was like, I'm going to be there at media day. I'm going to help you out, bro. I'm going to help you out. And we'll get to your media day shortly, because that's what it was. But I was like, I'm going to be there. So anyway, couldn't do that. Had to do the install. They came out, and it's about six, 7 hour process, whatever. But dude, like, my wife is smart. My wife grabbed my kid. She was like, well, I know he's going to be miserable because it's going to be hot in here and stuff. Like, why don't I just take him to the pool and he'll get a friend? And so they went and hung out at the pool all day. But I wanted to be there. Like, I didn't want to just, all right, guys, y'all take care of this. And I trust everything's going to be good. And I'll see you in 7 hours. I was like, no, I need to be here. You know, not that I know exactly what I'm doing, but just monitor the process, make sure everything's good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I stayed. And, dude, I'm not going to lie to you, man. By the end of the day, like, I could feel it. Like, so about a 6 or 7 hour process. I think they got there around like 11 a.m. I think by the time they got done, it was about 6:30. When they put that thermostat back on the wall and like powered it, like everything's okay. They got the outside unit changed, got the inside unit changed. All right, here, put the new thermostat on. When they turned it on, the internal reading on that was 93 degrees. Yikes. So it was funny because I was sitting, my wife.
Because you're one thing, but you have animals as well, too. Oh, yeah. Like, that's what the little dog's like.
Yeah, dog was not. Yeah, we had like a fan just blasting on the little house that she was in. So anyway, yeah. That was my day. So it's been a week, man. It is not the way I wanted.
Stressful. That's very, very stressful. And it's a huge cost. But like you said, you got it sorted. But yeah, anybody thinking about that bill, you're just like, oh, my. Because, I mean, who knows if it would have cost that 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Who knows if you're just paying the newly inflated cost of an AC unit,
right,
where it might be what it costs you $15,000. Still, you know it's going to be a lot.
It's one of those things, you know, like my wife and I were talking. I'm like, look, I don't feel bad about it just because, again, first of all, I mean, you know my situation. I got a great deal in the house. I got incredibly lucky. I bought during a crash here. So that's always given me a lot of flexibility that I don't have a massive mortgage payment. So adding this in isn't a killer. And like I said, it's an inevitability, right? If you own a home for that length of time, you're not going to not be able to replace the AC, especially here in Las Vegas, right, where it's just in the desert. So it's not money you want to spend, but it's not like, you know, I never anticipated that was going to be there. I never even thought about this. You know what I mean? So it sucks.
There's a lot of better things you'd rather spend 20 grand
on. I know. It was funny because my wife and I have been talking about buying a new car because she's got like a little Fiat 500, which she always likes. But now that our kid's getting bigger, she's like, dude, if it's like him and another kid, like they can't fit in that damn thing. So we need to buy a new car this summer. So we were talking about like what we want to buy, and
minivan.
I was looking. I mean,
even though because he's now older, well, now he's a teen. So, like, you still got some years that you could get some good use out of a minivan, especially driving around.
Then we'll go minivan.
Then she could drive them to all these little practices and all that stuff.
I think, minivans
are dope. There's, like, newer, cooler.
You know what?
Like a mini SUV.
I mean, we sound pretty dorky right now, but there are some kind of cool, like, vans. Like, you know, when you got all the, you know, TVs and entertainment centers and stuff in there.
A guy that I saw that does production stuff, I saw his little, like, mini, like, little van and how he was able to, like, roll carts up in the back. I was like, I was like, I like your vehicle. I was like, literally thinking, like, I would love to have a vehicle that was built maybe more for like production. I could do whatever. Because then, if I want to go camping, take all the gear outside, and then you got a nice little minivan or something with open space, and you can put a little bed in the back or whatever, and all the other little gear or something. But I was tripping out about this thing. Like, I don't need a fancy super Tesla or some super two-speed or your two-door, like, whatever.
Right.
I'm thinking, like, gear,
yep,
being able to go outside. I've considered a truck, you know, because then because I like the outdoors. I like to go fishing. I like to go whatever. Like, a truck
would
be dope.
She wants a truck. She can carry some stuff around.
Yeah. You know? But, I mean, like, but you got to think about, like, a truck. if you're still worried about carrying like a kid or around, you need to have an extended cab.
Yeah, now, dude, now you're talking about like a $75,000 truck easily, or something. You know,
easily, easy, yeah. You know, but.
But yeah, it was funny. I looked at my wife last night. I was like, well, you know that car we were talking about? I'm like.
There it is.
There it is right there. There's your car. But I mean, we'll still get a car this summer. We just need to because hers is small. But, yeah, it was not fun, man. When they present you with that bill, it's just like, oh. Yeah. Yeah, I was really hoping. And, again, we knew it was an inevitability, I should say. But you still kind of hoped it was just like, maybe just a little,
yeah,
little $800 repair here, yeah, or whatever, and we can kick that on down the road a little bit. But so you'll have to come over to the house when you get your incredible new air conditioning. I mean, you just feel the coolness in the
air.
Did
they try to like pawn you off on like cleaning the ducts since they were putting it back in? Did they like try
no,
to like?
You know what? You know what? And again, kudos to this company, man. They were super cool, very professional. And I even asked about that. I was like, "Do you need to change the duct work?" And they were like, "Honestly,
no,
it's in good shape, man." Yeah. They're like, "That's an additional. Like, if you want to change all that out, or
not even change it, but I mean like just vacuuming it. Because sometimes you have those people that'll come and they'll like suck all the dust and all the other stuff. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was fine, but. You just never knew. You know, they always want to throw something. They go, "Hey, while we're in there,
we can
do this for you." After 20 grand, it's like, bro,
I'm good
right
now.
You should be able to throw everything in there. Like, what else do you need on that price tag?
It was funny because this company, they do like plumbing and stuff as well. So
yeah,
the guy was like, by the way, he's like, your purchase. I guess they do like kind of an annual plan where like, hey, if you do this,
like a maintenance sort
of thing? So we'll do like the maintenance, and you know, they'll like, in fact, we can do your, you know, you're supposed to flush your hot water heater, and people don't necessarily.
Oh yeah,
always,
yeah. I do that all the time.
Nobody does that, but you're supposed to flush your hot water heater annually.
How about when you just use all your hot water and then it's pretty much empty? Isn't
that's
that flushing
not
it?
No, no, that is not the process. You got to get the sediment out and all that. Nobody does it. But anyway, so they're like, yeah, we can do that too as part of your membership. You know, they're like, it's free with your purchase. I'm like, oh, thanks. I mean, it is nice. Like, I would hope so. It's free. Yeah. It's free with my $20,000 purchase.
Is it free? Or are you just justifying that price tag?
But anyway, so that's got done. So that changed up my week tremendously because I thought it was going to be busy. We'll go through some of the stuff that you got to do. I will say, by the way, phenomenal week in Atlantic City this past weekend. I hope people got a chance to check out Fury Professional Grappling 13 and CFFC 142. We had a couple of really good nights back-to-back. Fury Professional Grappling the first night. We were in a really cool venue, too. It was the first time we've been in this new venue inside the Hard Rock. Not sure if you got a chance to check out any of it, but the setup of it, it's a really, really cool room. We're going to do some more events in there. And it just looked really nice. But
I did watch the event. I didn't really check out the thing, but I did watch the CFFC fights. It was some good fights.
It was cool. CFFC the next time. So the first night was grappling. Great stuff. Pat Sabatini beat Joe Selecki in overtime. It was a unanimous decision. It was close, man. Really, really close.
He just showed more activity, right?
That's it. Joe, basically, it was the pass right at the end. Like, Joe was doing better underneath. Yeah, Joe was doing actually better from guard. But ultimately, Pat, like, if he'd had, like, 10 more seconds, he would have established the pass, I think, and gotten a win. So he got the nod there. Junior Ocasio looked great against Kevin Dancer. He had a nasty submission there. Pat Downey, Chris Weidman was fun. Yeah. Chris Weidman was really, really good. But in overtime, it's first points to score wins in overtime. And he kind of basically went for like a turn, like a sacrifice throw, and couldn't rotate all the way through. And so Pat basically fell on top of him. But that's a takedown. You know what I mean? So it's like Pat got the win. But Pat was good. Pat,
now I was listening. All right. Maybe I'm thinking the wrong one. He fell on top, but that didn't give him the initial points. Because Chris wrapped around his leg, so his leg was like there, so it wasn't. He didn't get fully until he got his leg out.
Exactly.
Is that what it was?
And then you got to establish the top position.
Then he established himself.
And there you go. So,
because I remember that when that happened, I was like, oh, that's crazy. I was like, I thought it was done, but I was like, wait, how is it not already points? And then I was listening to the commentary, and I was like, wow, I didn't really know that. That's what it took to establish yourself. You couldn't be like in that compromised position because he looked like he was in top, but didn't realize that you're not established until you're able to clear both legs or whatever or something like that.
Dean,
and I was like,
Dean Thomas working with Dean, man, he was great all weekend. He was fantastic.
That's
man.
Awesome.
He knows it all. So that was a lot of fun. We had the $5,000 tournament. Lucas Bird, the collegiate wrestling champion, actually lost. I was talking to Lucas Bird afterwards. We knew he trained some jiu-jitsu, and he wants to fight at some point. I think he's ultimately building towards a career in mixed martial arts. But I didn't even know this. I ran into him on the way home the following day. That was his first grappling match ever.
Really?
Like, I assumed he had, like, done some Nagas or some local tournaments, whatever. He's like, no, that's the first. I'm like, the fact that you're willing to get out here on UFC Fight Pass and take a match with a dude that's actually like a budding mixed martial artist and wrestled in college as well. I just assumed he had done like some local tournaments or 100%. Something. But no, he's like, take my first one, main card, fight best. So
I wonder if that's like, you know, the you know, with guys like Bo Nickel and these guys that have made the transition over, I don't think people realize that some of those guys did do some training. I think some people just assume like guys like Bo Nickel just went straight over the Ben Askrens. And they're like, oh, well, they had wrestling. I think they just went over and competed, right? There's an actual legit thing to the jiu-jitsu and
there stuff. Used to be a real thing with like hardcore wrestling. Was like, you don't do jiu-jitsu and striking. Like, we wrestle. We don't do that stuff. You know what I mean? Now it's like most everybody, there's still – I mean, if you're at Penn State, you're probably not – doing some stuff on the side as well, you know what I mean? But definitely, like, a lot of the wrestling world is starting to realize, like, there's only so many, like, people that can go on the national team or, you know what I mean? So it's like, let them embrace some other stuff and cross-train and start, you know, taking other options.
And that's what I can say. I think, because if you don't make those teams, what do you do?
Exactly.
You know, and if you have that such a great base, because everybody always says, you know, like, if you want to, you have a lot of guys that, you know, do go into jiu-jitsu and they do go into grappling right from the get-go. But when people look at, like, American sports and what they have contributed to the combat sport area, then American wrestling, if you have a background in that, it's huge. It's an incredible, it's one of the best bases, you know, base skills that you could build from. You know, like, you're never going to, sucks that I spent so many years, you know, working in the wrestling. Like, what am I going to do with this? But when you transition into the actual MMA game, your balance, the way that they're able to kind of control 100%. Their bodies. And I think it's the same thing with, like, guys that did judo, you know, like, just their sense of balance where they're able to, you know, lower their center of gravity and just be able to fight off all these moves. And you're just like, how are they doing that? Yeah. It's just like, well, they've been doing this since they were kids.
And you're so right about that. Like, I think every kid should be wrestling, should be training, should be grappling, should be doing something. But
guys and girls,
absolutely. But with wrestling especially, it's just like that work ethic on top of it, dude. Like, it's just a grind of a sport. You know what I mean?
Well, and then oftentimes too, like, I remember when I was a kid watching my friends that did wrestling. You know, I remember them doing the weight cuts and how that was all about whatever. Not that you know, we see it happen now, but it's like, if you want to learn how to cut weight. But I think a lot of times I don't think they were as drastic or as bad. I think kids obviously wrestled much closer to their actual weights back then. But they at least learned the process, you know, and that's an experience I think that bodes well for the people. You know, as they get older, they're able to understand what their body's capable of doing and what they have to do. And it's not like a foreign thing. I think you have people that are tough, people that can strike and people whatever, and they have to learn how to take their body into a place where they can train and lose this weight without killing themselves, you know, whereas people that have been doing like the wrestling stuff, they're just like, oh, bro, I've been weight cutting since I was like elementary school.
I know,
like,
how much I can have for lunch today. I know what I can
do. They're so disciplined, man.
Got it dialed in.
It's so much respect for the discipline and the – you know, how dedicated to it that they are, man. It's incredible.
Really is. So that was Friday night. And then Saturday night, as you said, you watched the fights on Saturday, CFFC 142. Phenomenal show, man. Three title fights. I just had this feeling going in that we were going to have some upsets, that we were going to have some challengers win, and that we just had some really good stories. And so, like, the Ryan Cafaro story,
that was cool.
His emotions were incredible. And then Eric Nolan, the Marine. On Memorial Day, getting the upset. I mean, that was incredible.
Was that his hometown?
He's from right down the road. Exactly. Yeah. He's got a ton of people in there. Cool. So that was incredible. Then Luke Fernandez, decision win. First time he hasn't gotten a knockout as a professional, but still, you know, valuable cage time, and you beat a Bellator vet, you know, won every round. So some great fights. Was bummed for Blaine Richards, obviously, who lost to Eric Nolan. Anthony Smith was there, though. We got to honor him.
That was cool.
Pretty cool. They had his championship banner hanging in the rafters.
That's awesome.
They still had it like in storage. And so when we knew he was going to be there, I think it was Brad that was like, bro, I think we still have his banner. Like, we should hang
That's
up.
Cool.
And so it was kind of cool to get through that. So it was great, great, great weekend all the way around. Had a lot of fun in Atlantic City. And then, like I said, was coming back expecting to be incredibly busy this week because there's a lot going on, right? There's a UFC event that we'll talk about, but there was so much more going on. The Fight Pass Invitational is, of course, tonight. Pending changes to the Fight Pass Invitational, is that public knowledge or
I don't even think I know what you're talking about.
Well, I think this is the, from what I've heard, little rumblings behind the scenes, I think this is the last one. I think they're going to switch to the...
I thought you were talking about the competing service.
I think this is the last one they're going to do, do on a mat.
I thought you were talking about maybe a personnel change.
I haven't heard of fights dropping out. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, supposedly, yes. This is the format's going to look different.
I hear they're going to be switching. I don't know if they had to license that from Karate Combat / CGI. I don't know, but I guess I didn't really think about that.
It's not like
hey, we got more lawyers than you do.
Yeah, right.
Because
we've seen multiple iterations of how the platform has went. You know,
they had to have done.
They
something
went when it was raised, when then it was dropped. You know, then you had the people trying to catch people. Then they put them on the floor, and then all the other stuff. So yeah, I mean, like, I think a lot of times people are just like, you got to do something. And I think especially like seeing that karate come, but it's not like they. I don't think they trademarked whatever they call that.
The pit?
The pit.
They had to have.
I don't know. That'd be tough, trademarking the pit.
UFC did it with the octagon.
Yeah, but I don't think there were any, like, octagon, like, whatever you want to call it, spaces or whatever. But who knows?
We'll see how that works out. Anyway, that's tonight.
But yeah, supposedly it's the last one
we think on the mats are going to go to pits. That's tonight. There was the Ultimate Fighter debut premiere, I guess I should say.
Yeah, it was the premiere as well as the Tough 20-year celebration and the Tough 33 Q&A.
So I wanted to make it over there. So that was Tuesday night at Red Rock.
Yep.
For those that don't know, the Ultimate Fighter 33 is airing. The debut episode was this week. I know there were some people that will sit here and tell you how tired of a format it is. I still watch it. I like it. Let me just say first, DC and Chael's coaches, brilliant, obviously. Yeah. Those guys, you're not going to find better representatives, better coaches, more passionate coaches about teams.
And some huge names.
And big names, right? Yep. They just gather attention. But you know what else I like? And again, I've only seen one episode so far, but I just like the idea that the fight between them isn't the central storyline, right? It's completely about the prospects. I feel like over the years sometimes, I mean, yes, it's cool when you got two fighters that hate each other, that are rivals as coaches, and we know it's building towards a fight.
But these guys aren't going to fight.
No, that's what I'm saying. Why I kind of like the fact that, like, it ain't about them. You know what I mean? It's not about their rival. Because I feel like in years past, sometimes, like, you kind of almost lost sight of the prospects. Because it was more about the coaching.
Because it used to be on the same night as the finale.
Yes.
And then they moved the fights away from the finale because they were getting too big and they wanted to be able to use it. And now we've just kind of established where the coaches don't fight often.
This brings them retired.
This one was kind of cool because it was about these huge names with their own storied backgrounds kind of giving back to the sport, you know, which is really cool. I did catch up with Craig Piligian, the co-creator.
Yes, there the at Hall of Famer.
He's going in this one,
yeah.
Right? So I reached out, you know, he was there and he was out in the back because they were prepping before they actually went in the Q&A. And I was like, can I grab him? I was like, you don't get the chance to kind of talk to one of the biggest American TV producers, you know, often.
Yep.
You know, brought up, and I was like, man, because when you think about it, so this guy, if you guys don't know Craig Piligian, if you only know him for The Ultimate Fighter, he was on the first few seasons of Survivor. He did Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe, which I loved that show.
Right.
American Choppers, like that was a huge one. And I'm sure there's a plethora of other ones that he's had his hands on.
You know what? I never thought about that. You're probably right. I bet most people think he only did The Ultimate Fighter.
Right.
I bet most people aren't aware of that.
Well, even like in the Q&A, DC was like, wait, you were on Survivor. You did Survivor? He's like, I still watch Survivor. And then he started asking him questions. Like, he's like, come on now. You're telling me you guys don't just like give them like a candy bar or something off to the side when they whatever. And he's like, I didn't give anything. He's like, but you know, somebody maybe would have did whatever or something.
That's funny.
But you know, I just thought it was really unique to get a chance to talk with him because Dana always talks about, you know, we've heard it over and over again about how, you know, the finale of season one is what saved the UFC. So it was kind of cool to get his take on that. But I did ask him, I was like, you know, so tell me a little bit about the future. I mean, we're still going to try to switch up the format. We're going to try to do whatever. And he's like, we tried to kind of do that before, you know, where we tried to do the team versus team.
Right.
We tried to do the, you know, the comebacks, you know, and all this other stuff. And he's like, some stuff, it just didn't really work. You know, it's like, at the end of the day, it's about characters. It's about those people, you know, the things that we always said, what separates itself from the contender. And we brought it up and I talked about it. You know, it's great. You get there that night, you do your thing. and then you get the contract. But with this, you're learning about these characters, and people are drawn into these stories. And so when you have great characters and you're able to show the story, you don't need a lot of gimmicks. You don't need whatever. And that's kind of where they're just like, we've tried to do the format changes, and here we are sometimes like, oh, what are they going to do new? They've kind of given up. In their minds, not that they've given up. They're just like, we tried that before.
Yeah.
Let's just find a way to tell the stories better. As long as it's about the characters and you're able to do it, he's like, that will always be whatever that sells it. And when you think about it, other shows like Dirty Jobs, and I told him, I was like, you got this knack of, you know, finding ways to make people watch stuff that you don't really want to pay attention to because of the people that are telling the story and doing whatever. Like, even Dirty Jobs. If people don't know what Dirty Jobs is, Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe is a personality. I think he did some, like, maybe at a point he did a maybe a voiceover or two for the UFC, I think, back in the day. But he had his very just unique voice. But he would go and fill in with these jobs, people doing everything, digging ditches, you know, septic tanks, all this dirty, nasty shit.
Blue-collar, hard work.
Blue-collar. But when you would tell the story in the right way and with a good personality kind of doing it, you find yourself like, holy shit, I just watched an hour of a dude that's working on a chicken farm and he's scooping shit. And you're just like, I found it thoroughly entertaining, you know. So I was like, you did a great job. And what it boiled down to even then was about the characters and it was about the story. Yes, you can have lots of bells and whistles, and they've done that, and they've done things over the years where they've kind of changed the format a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's about the stories, and I think that's what we've always said about what Tuff's main thing was creating these people in your eyes that you wanted to follow for the rest of their career.
That's
people
right.
that you saw and you're like, oh my god, I want to tune into these because I want to see if there's going to be drama or whatever, there's going to be, you know, other things. And it's funny because Pelugian's like, we don't try to set up any drama, we don't try to whatever, we never do whatever. And it's funny, DC's like, you lock him in a house and you take all the communication, you're kind of doing it right there. And he's like, well, yeah, you're right. You know, when you create a powder keg situation, in a sense, you are kind of helping create the drama, because they've changed it over the years. And I'll be honest, like, I when I watch The Tough now, we get the screeners, I find myself a lot of times fast-forwarding to the fights, and it kind of sucks, because then when I decide to watch the full episode, I feel like I've missed the backstory because I've been fast-forwarding to the fights or whatever. But, you know, this is still what it is. I mean, like, you're getting these really unique stories from these people that, you know, then you find yourself wanting to watch them for their career.
You know more about – look, and I get it. If you've watched every episode of every season, you say, I'm just done with it. I can't do it. I understand. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. But it does still serve that purpose. A last-second step in on a fight card where you're like, I've never even heard of this guy. I don't know who they are. We're like, oh, yeah, I watched him. I remember him this. Yeah. I remember the – you know what I mean? To me, it
like
still
his,
does
he
that.
Comes from a background in this area where it was very impoverished, blah, blah, blah. Like, you start retaining that stuff. 100%. And, you know, and that's – you know, next thing you know, you're like selling the fight to somebody else when they're just like, why would I watch this? And you have these bits of knowledge that you don't normally get to unless you're like a diehard like you where you're literally ingesting everything that they're putting out there. When would you ever find out these stuff about
these
people? Most people wouldn't, you know.
And I liked it. I like too that it's a very international cast. I think that's probably smart too, right? Because you're giving like all these different markets and all these different nations like a guy. And I think we talk about that sometimes too. It's kind of hard with American fighters sometimes to resonate because there's just so many of them on the roster. But when we have these international talents and you give them a show that they can watch and you let them be the guy and let people learn about their stories and let people want to cheer for them, it's good. So anyway, The Ultimate Fighter is back underway. Joseph Morales did look very, very good. It was great seeing him back in the UFC. He is a CFFC vet, by the way. You know, I'm always going to point out some ties if I can. So it was great, man. He looked absolutely fantastic. But, you got to talk to a couple people over there, right? I mean, it's a big shindig over there.
It was nice. It was in the Rouge room. It was very, very nice. It was all closed off. And, boy, talent. They got some talent there in the staff. Let me just leave it like that. Not your typical staff carrying around the sliders. They were – it was nice. You wanted to see the sliders come around. Let me just tell you that. But, yeah, it was nice. They had a little meaty mixer. So they had little spicy margaritas and some weird little blue drink that I still to this day don't – I have no idea what was in it. But it was okay. So what it was sort of the spicy margaritas was supposed to be Team Cormier.
Okay.
And the blue drink was Team Sonnen. I'm not sure if they actually –
Well, considering Chael doesn't drink at all.
I know,
all.
But it wasn't like they came up the thing, but supposedly they were like, it was just another way to like have a little competition between the two.
To
not
see
that
like
they even,
which sold or whatever? Which,
but it wasn't
which,
selling, it was
sold,
just who drank,
which, yeah.
You know, so it was just, it was whatever. But that, see, they were all, like. They were,
see, if I would have shown up and picked a team, that's a guaranteed win right there. Like, oh, Morgan's drinking.
They're
off.
Like, oh, no, it's still a statement. He did both sides. He covered both sides. But no, it was neat. It was neat to be in that little room, and it was they closed off the little private pool part in the back. There was still the main pool, but most of the interviews took outside. But, yeah, got Tavares, which is good. There was supposed to be this huge list. If I showed you the list, it was, like, a ton of people, but not a lot of people came. So my ultimate goal when I went there was going to do a big sort of mashup of, like, all these guys talking about what Tef meant to them.
Right.
Tavares was my first one, and then I got this long interview talking about what Tef meant for him, whether he's still a place with the contenders, blah, blah, blah. Then it was like, okay, nobody was really there. And I'm like, okay, is anybody really showing up? You know, and then Tony came.
Right.
And we weren't sure we were going to get Tony. So then he was able to give us a mashup. And Tony, I thought, was in good spirits. He looked, you know, he looked good. He looked happy.
That's awesome.
He wasn't as crazy quirky as a lot of times you've seen him in the past. He even said, he's like, look at me, I'm smiling. He's like,
yeah.
But he's like, but I think he brought up in the point about how he was, there were days in the, when he fought in the past where he was smiling and having fun. But it maybe wasn't as fun recently, but he was in good spirits.
That's awesome.
Still wants to get that
always
fight with Dylan Danis. Oh, yeah.
Man.
I mean,
always
how can you
do.
Not, you know? So he definitely, he's still wants to fight. Fighting's still on the thing, but he has said that he's been getting some offers for grappling and other stuff. He said he had something else sort of in the works, but he didn't want to, like, say anything about it. I'm not sure if that was the GFL or whatever, but he still wants to have that fight with Dylan.
I was glad to see that he was there, that they invited him out, right?
Yeah.
Because they could easily, knowing that he is chasing other fighting ventures,
yeah,
and other, they could easily be like, well, what are we going to give him a platform,
yeah,
for? But I love that, yeah, they were like, no, come on out.
Yeah, especially in the fact, I mean, when in terms of fighter, Myron Santos was there. We did talk with him. Aljo was there. We didn't chat with him, but he's not even from a Tough.
Right.
Chiesa, I thought, was going to be there. Didn't see him there. There was Garbrandt was supposed to be there. There was a long, Alexa was there. Alexa didn't really feel like talking. I was hoping that we'd try to grab her because we hadn't really seen her since the loss. But she was just like, ah, she was like, I'm not really feeling it. I was like, dude, no pressure. I was like, we're here if you want to chat. We would definitely chat with you. But if you don't want to, enjoy yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, not a biggie. I'm not,
yeah, yeah,
you know, I'm never one that's going to be forced and, like, and try to make it so, like, you have to come chat with us or whatever. But there wasn't as many fighters as I thought. Initially, I was given a list. There was going to be, like, roughly, like, 15 or so. Forrest
You're
was
like,
there.
Oh, my God.
But part of me was like, well, I don't need – I don't. I can, if I can get them, I'll do a mashup, and I'll
right.
just slam all the answers. I don't need to have 13 interviews talking about what Tough meant to them or whatever.
Right.
But then, you know, getting the Pligeon was a nice get, and then got Khalil. And Khalil's always great on the mic. So, you know, he gave a good real interview. And that kind of made sense because he's got a fight coming up.
Yep.
So it worked out. I mean, it was fun. It was different. You know, it was just unfortunate since it was in this room, there was no audio box. I'm sitting off to the side capturing room audio. And they didn't want us to sit in the middle because they didn't want to block the people sitting there. And I was just, and then when it came down to it, I was the only person besides one of the UNLV kids who shot some on his phone. I was the only guy shooting, and I was just like, whatever. And I put it out, and people watching it, there were some real legit funny bits in there. I was just
right.
like, just me being me about the production. I was like, why can't y'all give me a damn audio box? I was like, I should have just asked if I could plug in the one that was up on the stage or whatever. But I was just like, eh. But outside of that, it was a wonderful – the room was cool as shit, you know. I haven't been up to Red Rock in a while. And, again, the staff was gorgeous. They were very, very polite. And the sliders and the food was, like, was awesome.
Solid.
It was incredible.
Red Rock's a great property.
Yeah.
Still one of the best properties in Vegas.
100%. Some the other day was like, so what's the deal about Red Rock? Because I was telling them, I was like, here's Red Rock Resort. It's really, really nice. I'm like, what is it? What about it? And I'm just like, you know, it's not on the strip.
Yep.
It's different, but the rooms are gorgeous.
Yep.
Like I like the casino for it. It's got bowling. It's got movies. It's just a nice venue. It's a nice resort that's away from all the other stuff, you know. And if you're trying to go out there and see something different, you know, you can go out there and have some good food. Say you want to hop on the road. Go drive out to Red Rocks.
Yeah.
See that? And then go see other stuff. But, yeah, I mean, Red Rocks is – the resort is definitely worth a visit.
If you're coming to Vegas and you've done the strip and you're
yeah.
like, ah, just kind of – go to Red Rock, man.
Yeah.
It's still for locals. It's still one of our favorites here, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Just
it's
laid
beautiful.
Back. It's nice. Got in all the in that Summerlin area, the downtown Summerlin stuff.
Yeah.
It's built up
it's
around it. So much stuff over there now, man.
It's crazy. Even since my short, what I consider short time, even though I've been out here for almost 14 years
yeah.
now. 14 years as of. This
it's not
month,
short, bro. It's
I know.
Short. 17 for me.
Like seeing the change of the Summerlin area, which people don't know. Summerlin area
That was Howard Hughes had a huge portion of that area where he had his like a landing strip or whatever. And at some point he made a deal to like sell it back or whatever. And then now you have Summerlin. But it used to be all weirdos land out there and stuff, which is pretty fucking cool. It's a unique story as well.
Well, that's pretty wild, man. This the story of this town, man. I love
I
this
know.
City, man.
It's crazy. So much... And that was what was kind of cool hearing Khalil talk about a little bit about what he's seen it grow and change. And he the point of pride of him of wanting to be able to – he's got his eye on a title, and he was like, I would love to bring it back to Vegas and have a title here in Vegas. He's like – this is where I'm from. He's like, and he talked about some of the stuff that he'd seen the city change, and because he'd been there forever, and he talked about how back then he was like, we only had like Sam's Town and something else is like all the little crappy stuff, you know, like that That's was it, funny. You know. Now you have like these crazy mega resorts and stuff, so it's unique. Funny, this town, man, it's neat. I love it here.
I do. I love it. I'm never leaving, man. I love this place.
I love it.
That's why I buy a $20,000 air conditioner, because I'm not leaving anywhere. All right, so that was Tuesday night. Obviously, I didn't get to do that. I was bummed because I did want to go out there. Like I said, I am somebody that still watches every episode of The Ultimate Fighter, so it would have been cool to go out there. And then Wednesday, obviously, the day that I was baking at 90 degrees inside my own house, that's when Media Day was happening. And so I had said I was going to be there, and unfortunately it didn't work out that way. So I guess my next opportunity will be International Fight Week about 6 weeks from now or so for me to actually be at a Media Day. So we'll see how it goes with that one. And those are the ones I feel like I'm not even needed.
You know,
you could
put it on the calendar right now and just block it off.
Those are the ones I feel like I'm not really – see, that's my
– those are the ones you're not as
I'm
much
not really
needed
yeah. right? Because, I mean, there's so yeah. much media there that, like, it's like you're yeah. almost being selfish by going. So
I love it. I love those ones, because then there's other media and I'm like, I'm just gonna sit and right. shut up.
So let's talk
time.
About Media Day, because this was the cold coffee. I mean, when we're look, I'm just telling you.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now, the World MMA Awards, I've already talked to them. I said, listen, guys, because the way the period works, it goes through from like July 1st to June 30th, right?
Oh, okay.
So the period, I guess it's not the voting period, but what would you call it? The eligibility period is about to end. And I was talking to Rob Hewitt the other day, and I was like, Rob, just got to let you know. I was like, I have these back-to-back events in Atlantic City, and I've got another event next week. We've got CFFC 143 out in Four Bears, North Dakota. We're actually working with the Karate Hottie. Michelle Watterson's going to
awesome.
Be out there. Looking forward
it's
to that.
It's funny, because I remember at one point you were like, I'm not sure if I'll say it. And then I think you said it on the show, and I was like, was he supposed to admit that? I was like, did he just break the news that
think,
he wasn't supposed to?
I think
to?
In between, we made sure that like, all the ink
they
was dry.
Some,
yeah,
oh, okay.
yeah, that it was all done.
I thought about that. I meant to hit you up. I'm like, bro, you said on the broadcast, and I was like, I'm not sure if you
yeah,
were trying
yeah, yeah.
to say
oh,
that.
Oh, no, I said it the other day, because at that point, yeah, at that point, the contract's done, the travel's done,
right,
like, everything's
good.
Good to go. Yeah, yeah. When we were first talking about it, I think we were still talking to her, and it hadn't been. And head up there. So I'm looking forward to working with her.
That's awesome.
Out there at Four Bears. And yeah, it made perfect sense because Holly Holm is doing a VIP appearance out there, so not even associated with us. So it was funny. We were like, I guess I could say this too. We were going to do Michael Chiesa because Dean Thomas can't do it. Like CM Punk obviously is busy. Dean Thomas will be in New Jersey for the pay-per-view the following night. We were going to do Michael Chiesa. Him and I have been wanting to work together again for years, and we were like, all right, let's do it. And then he got booked for his fight, which is like the following week.
Yeah.
So we were looking for options. We were like, who can we bring? And we're like, oh, dude, I bet.
That's incredible.
Those two best friends, man, I bet they would love to hang out there. So we brought her in, so I'm excited to work with her. But anyway, so I said to Rob Hewitt, I was like, listen, as soon as I get done with that event, I was like, then we can really start working together on this upcoming year's awards and compiling the nominees and working with the committee and all that. But I'm laying all that out there to just say, hey, folks, I mean, you're looking for Journalist of the Year nominees. I would behoove you to go watch the media day from yesterday and talk to me about how different it might have looked if Cold Coffee was not in the room, because, I mean, it was basically – I mean, you were rolling – essentially solo on a lot of them.
But they're Wyatt from that does for like UNLV. I'm not sure what other outlet, but I think it's mainly UNLV. Luckily, he showed up. He's like, I wasn't even going to show up. And I was like, well, thank God you did. I was like, to think that they're having a media day at the New York, and it was just me. I was like, this would be ridiculous. Especially when they walked in the room with like 20 roast beef things and 20 like chicken Caesar wraps. And I was just looking around. I was like, is that for me? And then you saw the other staff eventually come in and start getting it. But yeah, I mean, that's why, like you said, I love when it's International Fight Week, and I love when there's other ones. I mean, because, and I've said it before, you know, will I do an interview? Of course. But at the end of the day, it's not my job. I'm a video producer. But when I look at the UFC, they're like, thank God you're here. And I'm just like, of course I'm going to be here. I'm like, I live here. I'm going to be here. And that's why it always – I love to tease my other Vegas-like media. And I'm like, what are you doing besides this that you don't come to the media?
That's interesting.
You, I knew you were dealing with stuff. Yeah. But I see some of the media today. I'm like, bro, you come for this random Merab and, like, Nazim interview that they dropped at this last minute. But you get a fight PR schedule last week saying that media day is here, and then you skip it.
I'm all right.
Just, especially when you look at the card, I can see where somebody's like, well, you know, there's not a lot that resonate with that thing. That's fine. I get it. But it's still a UFC fight week, and you're not going to come out and, like,
I'm gonna
just do the legwork.
Well, I know. You. That's what you wanted to do. That's why you chose this job.
That's why
you
chose this job.
You know what
job.
I mean? You're like, I want to be around the UFC. Yeah. I want to interview these athletes. And,
right.
You know, and I get it. You're right. Look, this weekend's card is not a big card by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. People are going to hate on it all week.
This is that atypical card where everybody's like, oh, that's an Apex card.
Yeah.
This is the card. Because if this was on the road, somebody would bitch and say that it was an Apex card. So now it's here in the Apex, and they're still going to bitch about
right.
it.
Right. It is. This is what it's supposed to be, is an Apex card. Yeah. It does have a very meaningful main event. I know 100%. Macy Barber especially, you know,
yep.
You got to think, man, title shot potentially. She said, hey, I go out here and I do what I'm supposed to do. And Macy's always fun. That confidence, that swagger that she's
oh my
got,
Lord.
Man. It's in spades. She's got it, man.
And it's so different than, like, Blanchfield. Because Blanchfield, you want her to talk shit. Like,
yeah.
Macy's like, she's one-dimensional. I'm going to finish her. I'm gonna make her bleed. It's like, thank you, Macy. Like, that's awesome. Like, you want that. And Aaron's just like, she
not
can say what she wants.
Yeah, whatever.
That's it. And I'm just like,
we're going to fight.
Can you say some more?
Give me some more. All right, so I get it. I get it. Like I said, intriguing main event, a meaningful main event as well. I'm going to try to give some of the Vegas people some props. I'm going to give them some. Maybe it's because it was at New York, and they didn't want to go down there and pay the parking.
I can counter that. I went to PR and said, "Hey, this is New York. You've done this in the past when you go other places. Like, how about you validate us?" So they validated it.
Oh,
you can't
so
even
you
say
didn't
it
even have
parking.
To pay for parking?
Didn't even have to pay for parking.
Wow.
Because that would be a pain in the butt. Because we do it on fight nights. You just eat the cost. You have
right.
to do it. They don't validate on fight night. But this, when you go, typically when it's on the road, because when they were even talking about it, like, you know, you're right. Because when we're on the road, we validate. I'm like, well, why aren't you validating here? And so they went, and next thing you know, within, like, moments, they had vouchers or whatever. So,
you know, one night leaving that garage, actually the New York garage, because I left, like, right after the fight. So it was, like, one of those times I was, like, I think I'd flown back in.
Yeah.
And like, I was, like, I can't. Like, I'm going to fall asleep in the press conference.
Yeah.
I drove home, and I think because there's so many people leaving the garage, they just open the gate.
Sometimes they do. But now
so
they've
don't
got
–
now they
it.
Don't. Now what they'll do is, like, they shut off that back door, that back top. That's like on the sixth
yeah,
floor
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, we can go down that
they
one.
Close that one off because that used to be the one they never like did. It was
yeah,
always
yeah.
open. It was at the end of the night. We're like, hell yes.
Save my $30.
Yes. And now they kind of force you. They'll actually block it off. And I'm just like, come on. It's like 2:30 in the morning, 3. It's like, let us leave. But that one, yeah, we always have to eat the cost of that. But yeah, but for this one, yeah, now we can't even say that they didn't do that. But granted, they should have been more proactive and know that was a thing.
Letting
so
people
that
know.
If people, if that was an
I
issue.
I could be saying, like, dude, I don't
yeah.
want to go down there and have to pay parking and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, how MGM, because come on, man, we should still be getting free parking.
Oh.
That's another thing entirely. So listen, Media Day, you did a fine job. I did go watch
I did
all your
okay
videos.
Job.
You did a fine job.
I don't ever go back and listen because there's even sometimes like I don't even read the chat because somebody's like, I can't believe he. The one time I peek, he's like, I can't believe he asked Aaron if he thought that Macy was going to try to take her down. I was like. Well, Macy's.
Can't read the chat.
I know.
Don't read
like,
the comments.
F you.
I'll say, again, it was none of them were the most lengthy interviews. It wasn't the biggest. And
no.
So I don't want to spend time breaking down stuff that people don't care about. But I will say this. Like I said, Macy's, you know, she believes number one contender. No problem. She wins this. She fights for title. And I think she could be right with that. I will say, I thought Ramis Brahima was fantastic. His energy
yep.
was amazing. If maybe you got time to watch one interview, go watch him because
yeah,
I felt like that was one you would really like. So if you haven't seen his personality before, you haven't seen who he is, I really, really liked him in there. I liked Zach Reese as well, man. I think it, I don't know if it was you or it was Wyatt that asked him, like, I think it might be the key to victory. And I loved he's like, just be violent. I gotta just be. I love that. Like, yeah, bro, I can't.
Because there was one where
plan.
He took it. Because I always do the keys, Victor. It's like one of my thing. And I remember he did it on one of the ones. And that maybe that was one of the ones or whatever.
Yeah, I love that. I just love that answer. I love that mindset from any fighter. You know what I mean? Like, dude, because like this sport, man. Yes, you need a game plan. Yes, you need to be prepared, right? But I always go back to the chaos that's in there and how quickly things unfold. And, you know, the more and more you fight, the more it starts to slow down for you and the more you can compute and that sort of thing. But especially early on, man, it's just that's a great mindset. Just be violent. And then I also thought it was Dusko. And you kind of got him – his whole thing about it, he lost his team in his last camp, and it didn't seem like he wanted to talk too much about it. Like, he didn't really want to share details of it. But I thought that was a little bit odd.
Yeah. I mean, I think anytime somebody like makes a switch and then there's always some sort of catalyst, you know, and I guess I wasn't quite sure what he was going to say, why the reason or whatever. You never know what they're going to say. But yeah, I was just like, okay, I'll, you know, you make your decision. I mean, you figure, you know, we've heard people, you know, have say in the past, you know, like they just stuck with a situation when they felt like they should have left it at some point,
right.
Just out of convenience, out of whatever. Maybe you just, you know, don't feel like you want to hurt people's feelings by switching locations or something. But at the end of the day, I mean, like, if you feel like you're not getting what you need, or if maybe if there's some other drama that's affecting your performance, this is your career. You know, you got to make those moves, you know. So, you know, this is one of those moves that he decided to do. But, yeah, I mean, it's always interesting, you know, when you do it right before – a fight or if there's some sort of thing. So I'm always interested in what the change could be. But
something worth checking out, especially if you're in the –
especially like Ilya, you know, you saw when him just changing, and I don't know if it was just purely because his coach can't be in the location, you know. That seems like a easy enough answer.
They're,
you know,
all
that
handling that very professionally.
Yeah.
There has to be more
to it.
Like, you know, you can't just make it in for camp, or
that's the thing, you know, like, because you're not training 24/7 365 days,
right.
It's for a camp, and it's worked every other time, you know, so.
Or like, you know, look at Longo's
guy. But it's interesting because it's not like he's on a loss, you know, like you're switching while you're winning.
Yes.
It's kind of an interesting, you just wonder if there's other, you know.
And again, they're handling it very professionally. Everybody's saying, oh, it's just location and business. Yeah. But yeah, like, for instance, I look at like Ray Longo. Like, obviously, like, Merab and Aljamain, like, it made sense for them to move out to Vegas for tax purposes, for training purposes, the PI, for all those things. But they still stay in touch. And when it comes fight time, Ray Longo's still in the corner. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you're like, well, we had to move, so bye. Well,
I will tell you, though, speaking of, like, Syndicate, it wasn't even their full, I guess, typical pro practice. But there were like 60 people in there. That was with a pro practice.
So today
a bit of people there.
Given that I have air conditioning that works, that now I gotta work. I gotta pay for it. So so we went to Syndicate MMA today.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I was kind of thinking about this earlier because I am starting to get my mindset ready for like putting together the nominees list and stuff for World Members. You have to have John Wood and Syndicate on the list this year for Team of the Year 100%. And Coach of the Year, right?
I mean, and they used to be more of a staple where you would, but then you started seeing these, you know, these teams get the, you know, the teams that were in other countries, Mexico, some of the other ones, getting the respect that they should and getting nominated. You can't have the same ones every year, unless it's like the MMA outlet. Of course, you can have MMA Junkie, you know, every year.
But you could.
No, without a doubt. And when you look at the facility, it's been years since I've been in there. I walked in there,
really,
and it's
nice.
It's beautiful.
Their new facility. I guess I don't even know if it's – would you consider it new anymore? I kind of forget how long they've been over there.
Yeah.
They've been over a couple of years now.
The expansion. I think they did some expansion in the past two or three years where they sort of like absorbed the buildings, the businesses that were off to the side and expanded. It's huge.
It's really nice.
It is so nice, man. It is – it was nice before, but it definitely had that cramped sort of feeling before everything was sort of squashed together a little bit, where the workout space was with the weight equipment in, you know, reference to where the other spaces. But now they have that gorgeous open mat space with the heavy bags and the other stuff that in that expanded area that's just fantastic. They still have the nice big space with the octagon to the side, and then they have that open space, and then they have the workout room in a separate little room with another small little mat space inside there. But it's just gorgeous. It's beautiful. But also, too, it was so cool. I mean, walking in, the first person I saw was JoJo.
Yeah.
And I was just like, great. JoJo! I was like, I was just happy as soon as I walked in. I was like, this is awesome.
I had the same experience. I walked in, and I was just like figuring out. And I didn't know that. I mean, it makes sense, right, that she's there every day. I mean, I'm assuming she's there every day. But I didn't think about it. So when I walked in, you know, I was just like, hey, where are they? And I looked over, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's the best, man. So great to talk to her.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And, she was funny. She was like, because we had to sign a waiver just because we were going to be in there or whatever. She's like, you're going to go spar with Nazim, right? I was like, hell no. Bro. How are you doing that? So she's the best. So it was great seeing her. The facility's phenomenal. Definitely worth checking out if you're in that area at all, man. It's a great facility. And like you said, man, their pro practice today, they had a ton of people out there, man.
And all ranges of ages and stuff. So, I mean, he's like, this is like this. 5 days a week, or he's like, every day we have like a pro practice. He's like, this isn't even the most. He's like, you know, right now there's probably like 60. He's like, he said they have like maybe 60 or 80, and then they had like another 30 or
you know
something like amateur fighters.
As many as were there, it didn't seem crowded.
It was not.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, of course there's a lot of people in there, but they have so much mat space. That, you said, there was probably 60 people there, and everybody had room to work. Yeah. I mean, if you were doing like full-on sparring or full-on competitive roles, it'd be a little crowded because the space. But as far as like just drilling and plenty of room in there, man.
They literally, if they needed to and they really need to go, they had that whole other room that they could have stretched out to or whatever. But no, it was incredible. Like I was really, really amazed, and it I felt good because I think for a while there, it felt like, I don't want to say that, like it felt like it was in a decline from its heyday.
Well, we've seen ebbs and flows, right? Yeah. Like the Extreme Couture, depending on how far back you go, I mean, it went through a very significant decline.
It's had the same
here.
Thing,
They had some coaching turmoil, and you know, people didn't want to be there. And so there have been ups and downs. But I agree with you. I felt like you said, Syndicate hadn't been voted in the Gym of the Year, and they had been through some struggles.
Yeah.
And now I agree, man. I feel like it has to be on the list of nominees this year.
It has to be on the list.
So it was cool to be over there. So Murad Davalos Philly was there, an open workout. It was great to see him. No swelling on the toe, no
Dude,
darkness on
and
the
when
toe.
And when I put out the footage of his open workout where he's hitting mitts, and I even asked him at the end, I was just like, dude, you can tell that your foot is absolutely fine.
Right.
The way he was moving, the way he was pushing off, and the way he's throwing kicks, like, there's no problem at all. You know, like, and when you looked at it, at first I was like, bro, I remember breaking a toe before, and, like, my, like, discoloration lasted a little while. Like, when I looked at his foot, I was like, you put makeup on that thing, or is it all good? Like, but that, even if you try to cover it and say if you iced it and whatever, but it looked absolutely fine, but you can't move.
Yeah.
Without it, like, affecting, and then you didn't even.
100%.
If you never told somebody that he had some issue with his pinky toe or whatever, and then you watched him, you would never know.
Yeah, because normally you would expect to see like planting. And,
you can't throw. You can, like, you're not going to try to hold your foot down and try to throw a kick and not throw with the velocity. Oh, and he was working out some of these little special moves that he's trying to, like, this combination that he wants to do, and even that towards the end, like, because he did it, and then they were getting ready on the third round, and even Wood was like, "Yeah, we're practicing his O'Malley combo or whatever." So it's a nice little, like, starts with like a punch, and then like a front kick into like a kick towards the knee, and then like another spinning heel kick or something. It was a nice little flurry or whatever. But dude, his intensity. But it's funny because Wood's like, he's like, you know, I'm going to be hurting after that because he goes hard. Because anytime you people are here, he's going to go extra hard. So he's like, this is hard for me.
That's funny.
But that's the only part of. Hopefully it works out, because there were some great sort of just impromptu chats happening in between the rounds against the cage, where we were asking Wood some things while it was going on. And hopefully the music that was playing for the pro practice doesn't cause it an issue.
It's funny
because it was awesome hearing Wood kind of just lay into and say some different things about it, which I'm hoping I can share.
Hoping to hear. All right. It'll be interesting to see if that footage comes out, because you're 100% right. It was interesting because UFC PR that put it together had planned to be on the opposite side, which, you know, they had cleared out all the mats. There was nothing gone over there. But I guess Merab's like, well, no, I was going to go work out in the cage anyway, yeah. So I just want to be in the cage, which obviously he's getting ready for a title fight. He works out wherever the hell he wants to work out. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, it made a lot of sense, especially when you watch it, the way he was pressuring, you know, and he's pushing up against the cage and some of the movements. Like, you would never have been able to do that in an open floor.
Big open space, you know, bags and stuff. Yeah. So that was funny.
It made a lot of sense. But, yeah,
good workout. So like I said, Merab was great. Obviously, he's phenomenal in interviews. He's the nicest dude, too. I've loved Merab forever, man. Like, obviously, I've always been a fan since the very beginning. But when he walked in, I happened to be up at the front talking to Danny Rubenstein and just chatting about some things. And Merab walks in. I was like, hey, what's up? Champ's here. And he's like, what's up, brother? You know, he always says hello. But then he's like, man, by the way, he's like, you do such a great job at commentary, man. You get me excited about the fights,
awesome.
Man. I was like, dude, that's so cool, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I saw
like,
him kind of come in and make his way over to the pro room when he was dropping off some of his gear. You know, like, you figure if somebody had an air about them and really cared, they'd have, like, an entourage or somebody with them carrying his stuff. He literally was just coming in, arms full of his gear, you know, and then walking over and dropped some stuff. And then he made sure to come by and he said hi to everybody before we started
doing
this stuff, man.
I love Merab. I do. And obviously, like, we'll talk about next week. I mean, look, Sean O'Malley, I love the fact that he's like, not smoking weed anymore, not on social media anymore. Yep. Like, I like that shit. Now, how much direct impact it'll have on the fight, we'll see. Styles still make fights, and they match up the way they match up. But to know that, like, because it's one thing if you just, you know, you lose a fight, and you're like, ah. And I know that, like, you know, Tim Welch has gotten some criticism of, like, oh, the sphere played into it. That's not unrealistic, by the way. That is a very different fighting experience in an arena. So I know people are like, he's making excuses. So whatever. You can say what you want. But the fact that you go back and you're like, man, I had this loss. And, like, I had to make wholesale changes, dude. Like,
well, you got to remember, too, initially after it, he said, I didn't lose.
Right.
And it was like, bro, come on. So it was nice to see the about face and really sort of do it. But, yeah, I mean, anytime, like, if he can say that possibly he was distracted and didn't give everything into his last one, and he's doing all the things to correct that, it should be fantastic. I mean, like, not that it was a bad performance, just Merab had a better performance that night. So you got to think that if he's cutting back on the smoking, he's cutting back on the distractions, that of course he's going to be uber focused. And then he can at least say to himself, I have nothing to say that I didn't do.
Right.
I dotted all the, you know, I's, I crossed all the T's. I did everything possible that I could do to make sure that I was completely focused on this fight camp.
I think, honestly, that has me more excited about the rematch than I was when it was first announced.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, when it was first announced, I was like, we just did this. We just saw this
like,
fight.
Like, what's going to change?
Yeah.
You know? And this is the one thing that you could say, oh, well, that's a change.
That's a big one.
Honestly,
and it feels
big.
Got me more excited about it.
Yep, it feels big. It feels like this was a big move. This is almost like somebody, like, if they... You would think if somebody was, like, changing weight classes or changing something, like, I need to completely just redesign myself. This is a guy that was completely – he set himself up as this social media presence, this big star that smoked weed, loved his women, and did all this other shit. And now he's like, I'm beating the fighter. This is what we wanted Connor to do when we wanted Connor to come back and do some stuff. We were like, if we could just get rid of all the distractions, that was the Connor that was so dangerous. So – if this is him saying, like, okay, let me get back to what made me to where I was before I got to the point where he used his platform to create this insane character that people love about Sean. And if now he's thinking, like, okay, well, let me just get back and focus on what got me here. And let me just cut out the distractions. It's going to be a dangerous Sean. I mean, like, it'd be interesting to see if there are some, you know, big changes that we see in the performance because of
it. Dude, you just saying about Connor, like, I'm just imagining right now, like, because I've been the guy all along, Connor's going to fight again.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, dude, I don't know if he's going to.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine if he was just like, guys, I haven't had a drink in 6 months. He's like, I've been in bed every night at 10 p.m. You know what I mean? Just like, you're like, oh, shit.
I mean, that's the conversation we wanted to see like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Now it's like...
Yeah,
it'd be cool to see him just to know that, you know, he wants to, if he wanted to give a fight like a legit 100%, you know, it'd be really cool if that's what we got outside of just like, you know, not to throw a random stray, but like when we see the Diaz fights, you know, feel like he just shows up.
Yeah.
I feel like if Connor did take a fight right now, would he do some training? I think yes. But would it be the same Connor that we saw years ago where it was just so uber focused and dialed in?
No.
It's not the same. And that's when he started getting his stardom, you know, we appreciated what his life was able to be afforded because of everything that he earned and worked for. But then we always started noticing, like, it was like he was so many distractions, so much other stuff. And this is the stuff that Dana would say, like, when you give a guy all this much money, it's a little hard to kind of keep stay that hungry and get in the gym and do all the things, because now you could do things that you could never afford to do.
Right.
You know, this is what – it's a catch-22, because you want to work your ass off to be able to do it. And then when you're finally able to do it, do
Why
it.
Am I gonna keep asking? Why,
you know, like, I want to be able to do it. Like, yep. Don't tell me not to do what I can now finally do. But that was what we wanted Connor to do, was like, especially when he was in his prime and he was in his heyday, you know, it's like – just stay focused and do this magic. We wanted to see so much stuff from him. And then now it's just like, it's just not the same. I mean, like, I think anybody would be happy to say, yes, be cool to see Connor fight. But man, it was, there was that window where his greatness was just firing on all cylinders. And it was just, you wanted to see that Connor stay focused. And so we can get some other good fights, because now it became that thing that we were afraid of back then, was like, will we see Connor fight again? Will we ever see this same sort of thing? Because he's having fun, he's blah, blah, blah. Now that we're years deep in it without him fighting, we're like, okay, well, it came true. What we were afraid of back then was that the money and all this, you know, the show and just being this superstar would be his focus, and that's what's been his focus, you know? So even if he did, I just don't know. I mean, it's just, I think he's lost so much of that space where everybody was just so like Connor, 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 with all the extra stuff that happened off to the side. So would it be cool to see him fight? Awesome. But do we think it's going to happen? Probably not.
No.
You know, no, at least not in the
I've kind of lost.
Not it. In the MMA cage. Would we see him in a BKFC / power slap thing? Maybe.
Power slap. That'd be interesting. That would be interesting, right? If like he's like, look, I know I'm under contract with you guys. I get that. You're not going to let me go anywhere. I got to do something. But let's be honest, I'm probably not going to do a whole MMA camp. But I'll tell you what, those last two fights I got, I'll do them in power slap.
Power slap.
I think Dana would be like, fair
but
trade.
But he would want the same kind of money.
Oh, that's true too.
And I'm not sure without that, without a real like sort of broadcast deal around the power slap.
They don't even have like pay-per-view revenue. Yeah. Or
I don't think they'd have that, because that's where they'd want to recoup the money. So unless you had some crazy sponsor like the Sheik or the Turkey's, like, you know, Turkey Al Sheik,
I believe.
Unless he's like, dude, yes, let's do a power slap with Connor and I'll put up $20 million just to watch him flinch and get the fucking Paige Van Zandt treatment where it doesn't matter and he just breaks the rules and he gets the win.
It was close.
She tried.
Do want to give a shout-out to Nazim Sadikov today. I thought he was really good in his interview. Yep. You can see how much it meant to him. As you kind of mentioned, we didn't know we were getting Nazim until basically like this morning. But it was cool to see him there. Obviously, selfishly, it's a CFSC versus CFFC fight, so I love that reference in there. But it was cool to see how much it means to him to fight in Azerbaijan. It's actually funny. I guess it was my birthday. Yeah, it was my birthday. It was the last time I sat in the Apex and hung out and watched fights. And Naz was actually sitting right in front of me with Danny, and we were talking about the fact that he wanted to be on that card.
Yeah.
And he was like, I wonder who I could fight to be on that card, because he was talking about how much it meant to him and everything. So for that to come to fruition, for him to get in fight, you know, here he is 2.5 months ago saying, dude, that was – when he was talking to me about it, it was before they had even made it official that it was going. And I had heard that it was happening, and so he was like, oh, I don't know if I should say anything. I'm like, dude, I already heard. He's like, yeah, I got to be on that one, man. So it was cool that it came to fruition. Did you sign the John Jones petition yet?
No.
God, so ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, that's going to do a lot.
It's so funny. I get why. It's like gimmicky news or whatever. I get why like all the MMA sites are writing about it. You know what I mean? It's kind of gimmicky.
Where's
or whatever
the petition
it does. Like, I think change.org, I believe.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's like the White House. It's like 145,000 signatures or something. But it's so funny. It's like, it's kind of like we talked about last week. Like, bro, if the UFC didn't feel confident that they know what was going on, they'd strip him.
Yeah.
And guess what? John doesn't give two S. I do think Tom Aspinall – I love me some Tom Aspinall. I feel like he's played, like, every step of this right.
Yeah.
I feel like he kind of screwed up this past week where he, like, teased big announcement news and ended up being, like, clothing and stuff. Like, bro, come on, man.
Well,
don't do the fans like that.
Yeah, right?
Don't do the fans like that. All right, listen. Last thing, I just want to – I don't know. send positive thoughts and hope that if you're around BJ Penn and you're in his circle that you get him taken care of. It's clear like he needs some help or something, man. It's a sad story to watch. So hopefully there's some people around him that can get him the help they need. I know that's not always easy.
Yeah, I mean,
it's sad for me. It's sad to see, dude.
It's sad, and it's tough because, you know, I'm sure there's been people in that orbit for a long time, but at some point it's tough because it's almost like to stay in that orbit. Because I'm sure there have been people that have tried and tried, and you can only take so much before it starts killing yourself and your own mental health. So I hope, yes, there are still people in that orbit.
Right,
because I guarantee
you're like trying to help, but you're like, I'm tired of him lashing out at me, so like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, because at some point, it's your own mental health kind of starts to hurt, and it's tough. It's tough being around people like that. But, yeah, you hope that there are some people that are still there, or maybe some people go back in and give it another shot, you know.
Yeah, like maybe I saw this coming, but now it's here, like, jump back in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it seems like it's reaching pretty critical mass right now.
I mean, because when you have people talking about, like, he should get institutionalized or put away or something, it's just sad. And it's just hard because, you know, this guy was at the top of the space. I mean, he still gets praise. I feel like we just heard GSP talking about him, you know, recently. You know, I mean, like, and it's you hate to see anybody go through that, regardless of whether they were a champ or whether they are whatever in the sport. You know, you don't want
to see
people sort of like, you know,
that,
go through it. But
much less such a beloved figure, you know what I mean? Like, when you're talking about, you know, restraining order for your own mom, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's tough.
Especially something where it seems like they should have had the resources to be able to get help, because a lot of people have these sort of things and don't have the resources to get the help that they need. But, yeah, you know, I hope he does. I hope he does. You know, it's sad. It was sad to watch some of those videos. I had to kind of turn it off, watch when he was surrounded by the bed with all the police and stuff. I was like, it was just – there's part of me that's like, I know you're supposed to watch it. Another part, I was like, I'd rather not just watch it. It was tough. It was hard to watch. But, yeah, I hope he gets the help he needs, and I hope the people that have been around go back in, give him, you know, get him the help he needs.
100%. All right, well, listen, like I said, a meaningful main event this weekend, not the biggest card of all, but as I always say, man, like, literally remember, for every one of those athletes on the card, it's the biggest week of their lives. Every fight's the next biggest one, man, and I'm sure it'll be some entertaining matchups. And, dude, we just love the sport. What else are you going to do? Not watch MMA? Come on, man, let's go. So
I'll be there.
Looking forward to it, man. We'll be talking about it all next week for everybody at patreon.com/MMAroadshow. We'll figure out on the regular show, because I fly to North Dakota on Wednesday. We'll sort that out. You know, we're never going to miss it. Maybe
we'll
do something
happen
during the day on Thursday or remote. We'll figure out something. So we'll tease a little bit of CFSC 143 next week as well. And of course, it is a big pay-per-view week. So, you know, we're not going to let a week slide by with that episode. So, listen, appreciate the support as always. And, you know, more than anything, I'm going to go enjoy my luxury $20,000 purchase, man. You know, anytime you spend 20 G, you just go drop 20 G's. You're like, I'm going to
enjoy
that. It was funny. I did tell my wife, I was like, crank that shit down to like 50 degrees, dude. I was like, let's just see how cold it can go. We dropping money like that.
That's funny. And then you're like, okay, that was cool.
That was enough. All right, yeah. I'm not trying to get that $300 electric bill this month, man. That was it. Just see it for a second. Now we're good to go. So I'm going to go enjoy that for everybody else. Thanks for listening.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.